Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Good morning, all, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had a great night and a good morning. We need to give God praise for another day to thank Him for it. And to thank Him for being with us, guiding us. Because without Him, we are nothing. Without Him and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing. You know, we're going to be picking up here this morning in our study in a book that begins with something very, very great. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I have several, and this is one of them. So, we're going to be getting into the Gospel of John this morning, and this very first chapter starts off very strongly about what is what and who is who. It gives us something to really think about. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, as we open your word this morning, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to give us the truth of your word and a greater understanding. Because without him, Father, we don't get the true meaning of this your word. Be with us now, Father, and grant us these things this morning so that we can walk in the Spirit, with the Spirit, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, always praising you. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen. All right. We're going to start here with chapter 1, verse 1. This verse 1 tells us a whole lot when we understand. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, how could this be? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because you see, he's calling the Word here Jesus Christ. Oh, no, Pastor. No, he's not. Well, we'll see here in a minute. But he's letting us know that Jesus was with the Father before he came into this world. He was with him back during creation. And we're going to see this here in just a second. Because you see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. Those three are one. They make God. Now, that's why it tells us that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Two, the same was in the beginning with God. Three, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's talking about Jesus here. He's not talking about the Father. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. We'll see this in just a minute. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, here in verse 6, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. All right, this is not the Apostle John. This is John the Baptist he's speaking about here. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He's talking about John the Baptist coming as a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. 8. He was not that light. John was not the light that you're talking about here. That light is Jesus. He but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It didn't. But that's not all. You're in 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus was born here on this earth as a babe among the Jewish people. He was not received. He was rejected, which we all know. Now, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those that believe on him. They become the sons of Almighty God. Now, 13. Them that believe on his name. 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, letting us know all about this. He came into this world as a babe. He was born flesh, just like you and I, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Yes, because he was with God from the beginning. Now, 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's letting us know right there the name of who we have been talking about from the very first verse of this chapter. 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He declared the Father. Now, 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? Why are you baptizing then? All nosy people, aren't they? Now, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Think about it. What a first chapter to one of these books, huh? Now, 35. Again, the next day after John stood and the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, because that Lamb came to this earth to be used as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world, and to bear all of our sickness and all of our diseases, taking them to the cross, things that we would not have to bear. All right, now, (clears throat) 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, "Seek ye." And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." And you see, even though none of them knew him or knew anything about him, but as he would say, "Follow me," there was no argument, no nothing. They just went and followed him. Now, 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Because they'd always been told nothing good come out of Nazareth. That's people looking down on other people. And he's telling him, "Well, you just come and see." Now, 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." He's letting him know. He knew right where he was before Philip ever called him. Now, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Letting him know, you're going to see a lot greater things than just me telling you I saw you under a fig tree. Now, here in the last verse, chapter 1. "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Letting them know that they're going to see a lot of things come about. All right. Gonna be going into chapter 2 here. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. In other words, they were invited to that marriage. And 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 finnikins apiece. Finnikins were about 9 gallons. Well, that made each pot held about, actually, 18 to 27 gallons. That's a pretty good-sized pot, ain't it? Now, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. In other words, he's kept the good wine to last. He didn't know where it comes from. 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made his scourge of small cords, in other words, he made him a whip, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Just didn't like what was going on there at all, did he? No. And said unto them that told God, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He's talking about his body. He's not talking about no big temple. He's talking about his body. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. You see, most of them had to see these miracles to believe. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So you see, Jesus knows all about us. All right. Yeah, we've got time, so let's go on into chapter 3 that we just finished with 2. Let's go on here in chapter 3. So you see, we're getting a lot from John here. Right here in the beginning. And this chapter right here is going to give us something that is not preached in a lot of our churches today that needs to be. In fact, it needs to be preached a whole lot more than the stuff they're preaching. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, there's that verily, verily now. When you see that in a verse, means pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Uh-oh. Are we getting into something here? A man being born again. Now Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about yet. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He's talking here in 5 about being born of water and of the Spirit. I've heard a lot of them say that that's talking about his natural birth. And then the Spirit. But what happens before you are born with the Spirit of God? Baptism. Why are you baptized? You are baptized because you are putting on the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go under that water, you are being buried with him. When you come up out of that water, you're being raised in his resurrection. And you are then to walk in newness of life. There is still one more thing for you. And that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And you have those that tell you, just because you've been baptized in water, you're automatically right then filled with the Spirit. That's not true. And we've been through that already. Because in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we've been through that, this study. And they let us know exactly about that. You see, mankind, without the Spirit, cannot understand a lot of the Scripture. In fact, most of it. Now, there are a few that when they are baptized are also filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. But that is very few. Because most of them, when they are baptized, has never heard about the Holy Spirit of God and how to obtain it, how it's given or anything. Now, here in verse 8, he said, well, verse 7, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I don't know where it comes from. Now, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This lifting up he's talking about is his crucifixion. Because in the wilderness, Moses, when he lifted up that serpent, that was a brass-made serpent that was on a pole. Because they had been a lot of serpents come in among them. And they were poisoned. And when they would be bitten, they died. And God told Moses to make this brass serpent and to lift it up high on a pole. And when people that had been bitten would look upon that serpent, they would not die. They'd be healed. Actually, it was a form of what was to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he just told them there. Now, he goes on here with 16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's letting us know all about it. But very few, and in our day right now, they are turning away from him. just as a lot of his people were doing while he was here on this earth. They're taking him out of every place, even his name. They don't want his name even mentioned. They don't want you in your prayer in his name, which we are told to do by God Almighty. Now, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, when you will not believe in that name, you're already condemned. You're bringing that condemnation on yourself. Now, 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's why they don't want nothing to do with him. And that's why they don't want anything to do with him today, because of their evil mind and their ways of living. And we all know this. We see it all around us today. Now, 20. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Come to the light, the deeds is going to also come to the light. 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Those that love the Lord God, those that are walking rightly, they want to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. They want their deeds to be made manifest, because they want to be seen of God in doing what he wants of them to do. Not what they want, but what he wants them to do. 22. After these things came Jesus, his disciples, into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Aenon, near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. They're complaining now because Jesus had baptized them. He had baptized a lot, but he had baptized these. But they complaining now to John about it. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, this, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He's glad to hear it. He goes on here in 30 and says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Because he is above me. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. This is John the Baptist letting them know this. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. You see, when we believe in the Son of God, we also at that time have moved into believing that God is true. 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. Jesus, you know, Jesus himself tells us that he says nothing that he has not heard from the Father. And we should be not saying anything that we don't receive from the Spirit of Almighty God. Because those of us that have been called to teach, to minister, we also have been born again and given that Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All right, 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. 35. The Father loveth the Son and has not given all things unto his hand. 36. And this is the end of chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. You see, things are straight and to the point when you really get into the Word of God and you take the time to see what each verse is telling you. You don't read it like a storybook. This holy word, you study. Read it slowly and see what each verse is telling you. And the Holy Spirit will open it up and give you the revelation of it. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We go to him and we repent. He forgives our sins. Our faith and our trust is put in him. And then there'll be a time when you understand about the Holy Spirit that you will receive him. That's when you are truly born again, in receiving the Holy Spirit of God. I know a lot of you don't believe that, I can't help it. But you see, that's the way it is. The first John in the third chapter tells you this about being born again. In the first John, the third chapter, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You see, these are things that we need to know and to understand in order to be that child of Almighty God. And these are things that is not being taught in our churches today. They have become weak and they're teaching things they should not teach. And they are accepting things in a lot of our churches that should not be accepted. And we're losing a lot of our churches. Think about it. We're losing a lot of our churches today. The Methodist Association has lost half of their churches. Think about this. Why? Because they let in a lot of things that should not have been allowed through the door. And it has cost them greatly. Think about it. We have finished now. Here with this verse 36, we finish with chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. But you see, yes, none of us will come to the point of non-existence, like a lot of them look at death. But you see, death in a lot of the verses is used to show us that we are separated from Almighty God. As he's talking here, says they shall not see life. Doesn't mean they're not going to just quit existing. But that's what a lot of people think. When I die, if I don't go to heaven, I just won't exist anymore. No, that's not true. You see, that spirit will never die. But that spirit will either spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him and Almighty God, or it's going to spend eternity in hell and eventually wind up in that lake of fire that's going to burn forever. Forever torment. And you put yourself there. You can't blame God or anyone else. It's your choice how you live your life and what you have accepted into it will decide where you spend eternity. And with that, we're going to close. I pray that you spend time today with God. He'll spend time with you if you spend time with him. Now, let's go to him in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for a time, Father, that we can come together with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to study your word. Because that's the way we gain the knowledge, Father, of our existence and what it should mean and what would be happening with us. Now, Father, I pray for Israel, Jerusalem, that they have peace. And right now, Father, we know that there's no peace there. Even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Because at this present time, Father, we know that still most haven't. But, Father, we know that there is coming a day to where they'll all be saved. They are your people. You love them. You have not turned against them. Your love is still there with them. They've just not come out from behind the law to move under grace. Yes, we know, Father, that there are a lot that have accepted Jesus. We know a lot of organizations that are working today for that very same purpose. Father, this land of ours, we're even in worse shape because we had it all. This was a land with your blessing. Our government had been founded and put upon the foundation of your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. This nation had been richly blessed. And without any reason whatsoever, it has turned its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Took him out of every place he was in, even the Ten Commandments. They don't want any more to be displayed publicly. And brought so much evil and sin upon its own people. Help us, Father, to get out of office those that are against you, against your people, against the church. And help us to replace them with ones, Father, that will work for your church, for your people, and to put the Lord Jesus Christ back into every place he's been taken out of. And our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Father, throughout this day. Give us guidance. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. And Father, bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And back into your word. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Spend time with the Lord God, because he'll sure spend time with you if you will him. Have a great day now.